You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Kinetter, in today for Rob Ferret. Now, the U.S. House of Representatives is still without a speaker since Kevin McCarthy was ousted last week. That was following a single member's motion to vacate, a condition that McCarthy had allowed for as part of his package of conditions that won him enough votes to become speaker. Republican Majority Leader in the House, Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, looked to be the nominee, garnering more internal votes in the conference than Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. Then last night, Scalise announced he was pulling out.
I just shared with my colleagues that I'm withdrawing my name as a candidate for the speaker designee. If you look at over the last few weeks, if you look at where our conference is, there's still work to be done. Our conference still has to come together and is not there. There are still some people that have their own agendas. And I was very clear, we have to have everybody put their agendas on the side and focus on what this country needs. This country is counting on us to come back together. This House of Representatives needs a speaker, and we need to open up the House again.
We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Who do you think should be Speaker of the House? Do you want to see Democrats engage with Republicans and make some sort of deal to bring on a more moderate speaker? How do you see that working? What questions do you have about what the country can and can't do without a functioning House of Representatives? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Anthony Chergosky is an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. Anthony, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we have got a lot of news in the last week, just in the last 24 hours. But before we get to that, let's back up and get a little context here. You suggest that we should look back to the 2022 midterm elections as a sort of a marker of how we got here. Can you talk about that?
Sure. In the 2022 midterm elections, the Republicans gained only 9 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, there was a lot of hype about the prospect of a red wave materializing in the 2022 midterms, and it's understandable why there would have been that type of speculation. After all, we know that historically, the party of the president has not done well in midterm elections. So a lot of people were expecting the Democrats to do very poorly in the midterm elections and the Republicans to do quite well. However, House Republicans lost a lot of competitive districts. Their candidates did not do well in many of the competitive districts, the swing districts, and the Republicans more broadly were harmed by the backlash to the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. So all of that adds up to a poorer than expected performance for Republicans in the 2022 midterm elections. It does give them a razor thin majority in the House. That means, in practice, to become Speaker, Kevin McCarthy had to make deals with all sorts of factions, all sorts of individuals within the House Republican Conference. And in doing that, he really laid the groundwork for his own demise as Speaker. He made it possible for any one member of the House to trigger a motion to vacate, which would lead to a vote on removing the Speaker. As we saw, Matt Gaetz of Florida did exactly that. So the broader context here is significant. If the Republicans had an overwhelming majority in the House of Representatives, then a few dissenters here and there, a few people who don't want to go with the party line, well, that wouldn't really matter so much if they had a large majority. But they have a razor-thin majority, such a small margin for error. And that means that almost everyone in the House Republican Conference has to be on board. And we have seen that they are just not a unified front nowadays. When I heard Steve Scalise say that there is still work to be done, that seemed to be the understatement of the century, perhaps. There is a lot of work to be done in the House Republican Conference to get to the point where they are able to elect a new Speaker of the House.
So after McCarthy was ousted, we saw Representatives Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise emerge as the two primary candidates, and Scalise won the most votes in an internal party vote to become the nominee. That's what we thought we would be talking with you about today, Anthony, but then last night he announced he was withdrawing. Do we know what happened? Why?
Steve Scalise was just not able to get to the magic number, 217. There are currently 433 members of the House of Representatives, so a majority is 217. It is true that Steve Scalise won that internal vote within the House Republican Conference, but to become Speaker of the House, he needs to win a majority of the overall membership of the House of Representatives. That means that 217 of the House Republicans would have needed to be on board in order to elect him Speaker, and it was quickly apparent that he had an uphill battle to get to that 217 magic number. In fact, the uphill battle seemed so significant that he quickly bowed out of the race to become Speaker. He quickly ended his efforts to become Speaker, even after he had been chosen by a majority of his House Republican colleagues. Now, Scalise has, for a period of time, been the second-ranking House Republican. He has generated some goodwill within his party due to his high-ranking position, but there were different areas of opposition that emerged within the party, and it just seemed like too steep of a hill for him to climb, in his view. So that left him in the position where he decided to remain majority leader. Meanwhile, Jim Jordan, the hard-charging member of the Republican conference, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, he has become well known for his frequent appearances on Fox News. He has become very well known for his outspokenness and his confrontational style in these high-profile committee hearings that he has participated in. And he stepped up today as a speaker candidate, having lost previously to Scalise. He wins the vote today, but he still is nowhere near that 217 magic number. It leaves the House Republicans in a state of turmoil, and it leaves a real, real sense of uncertainty in the Capitol as the Republicans continue to try to figure out their next move here.
We're talking with Anthony Trigosky, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse, about the effort to elect a new House Speaker. We talked with Representative Tom Tiffany on the morning show this morning, and he was asked about the Freedom Caucus, who has been a big player in all of the House Speaker drama we've seen over the past few weeks. Here's what he said to host Kate Archer Kent.
Have you had conversations with members of the Freedom Caucus? Do you know what they want here?
Yeah, so this is not just the Freedom Caucus. So primarily them in regards to the McCarthy fight, but with Leader Scalise, that was not the Freedom Caucus that scuttled his candidacy. You had people that you would call much more moderate, for example, Nancy Mace from South Carolina, that were not supporting Scalise. So that was not a Freedom Caucus problem for Leader Scalise. I think that we need to get someone that bridges those philosophical divisions and brings us together. Hopefully we'll get that person that can bring unity, vision, and leadership for us as the next speaker.
Anthony, what do you think about what Representative Tiffany had to say there about the role of the Freedom Caucus?
Yeah, I'm just not sure who that person is that would be able to bridge those divides within the Republican Party. Now, to the point about the Freedom Caucus, Jim Jordan is a relevant figure here because he is a founding member of the House Freedom Caucus. The House Freedom Caucus in the Republican Party became very well known for its use of hardball legislative tactics. Of course, it wouldn't be surprising that they would play hardball in a speaker's election, that they might try to get concessions from Scalise, or that they might try to hold up the process to get something out of this process that they feel is important to them. But to Representative Tiffany's broader point about unity within the Republican conference, I'm just not sure who that person is who can bridge those very real divides that Representative Tiffany discussed. And it just leaves the House Republicans adrift at this point, trying to figure out who is that person who can bridge those divides? Now, in the past, Dean, it was Paul Ryan, Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan. After the downfall of John Boehner as speaker in the latter parts of the Obama presidency, Paul Ryan emerged as the person who could bring the Republican Party together. He could unite the different factions of the Republican Party, and everyone could more or less be on board with the idea of a Ryan speakership. Right now, there is no Paul Ryan figure that I'm aware of who can emerge as the person who can bring everyone together, make everyone happy, and the party can unify behind them. It just is far from clear who that person might be.
And Anthony, when it comes to those sticking points and making people happy, I'm curious what you're seeing. Are the points of contention more around, I don't know, rules and committee assignments and that kind of thing? Or are there significant policy issues here that wings of the party are disagreeing on?
I think it's a combination of both. There are some tactical differences in the Republican Party. We noted Jim Jordan and the House Freedom Caucus and their penchant for hardball tactics. They have talked about impeaching Joe Biden. They have talked about other things to really try to bring the fight to the Democratic Party and really have high stakes showdowns with President Biden and the Republican majority in the Senate. So for sure, there are tactical issues at play here. There are also some policy differences inside the Republican Party. And the combination of internal policy disagreement and internal tactical disagreement just makes it all the more difficult for the party to find that consensus speaker candidate who can unify the party around a common policy and tactical approach.
Anthony Trigosky stays with us, assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse, talking about the latest efforts to fill a vacant Speaker of the House position. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about how all this works? What's your reaction to what's happening in the House? If you're a Republican voter, how do you want to see this resolved? Who would you want as Speaker? Call in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Knetter. We continue our talk about the Speaker of the House vacancy with Anthony Trigosky, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. We have Mark in Hartford. Hi, Mark. Hey, Mark, are you there? Oh, Mark, I think our connection is bad. I'm sorry, but Mark was pointing out that the Democratic Party is sticking together throughout this process as he sees it, and the Republicans are not, and he wants to see them come together and solve this issue. Anthony, can you talk about, I don't know, how the Democrats are reacting to this entire process?
I think that's an excellent point. After Nancy Pelosi bowed out of the House Democratic leadership, a natural question was who would emerge as her successor at the top of the House Democratic leadership system. And Hakeem Jeffries of New York emerged as that consensus candidate among House Democrats. There has been very little internal dissent, no public dissent that I'm aware of, in the House Democratic Caucus when it comes to their support for Hakeem Jeffries as their leader. Now, strategically for the Democrats, they have some interesting decisions here. Do they maintain a unified front and oppose anyone who the Republicans might put up as a speaker candidate? Do they try to make a deal with some of those moderate House Republicans, those Republicans who come from districts that are highly competitive, those House Republicans who come from districts that Joe Biden carried in the previous presidential election? Now, previously, Dean, the idea of a bipartisan vote for a speaker would be simply comical. Votes for speaker are along party line. That is what we would expect. But there does seem to be some perhaps serious talk emerging in Washington about a bipartisan coalition that might elect a speaker. And I don't know exactly what to make of that. It is just so unfamiliar, such an unusual situation to be in. But that is something that Democrats are going to have to figure out. Do they maybe want to work with Republicans to elect a speaker, put together that majority coalition on the floor? Or do they want to maintain kind of an approach that, hey, the Republicans have to figure this out. This is not our problem. This is something that internally the Republicans have to figure out. So a lot of the focus is naturally on the turmoil within the House Republican Conference, but the Democrats have a potentially interesting role to play here as well.
Let's go next to Rob in Winona, Minnesota. Rob, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just wondering if the Republicans can't, for a lengthy period of time, coalesce on a speaker, what happens to legislation in the United States?
Rob, that's a great question, a timely one. Anthony, what do you think?
Well, the obvious answer is nothing much. Without a Speaker of the House, there isn't much that the House of Representatives can do. One thing that I would watch for on that note, though, is to watch the potential role of the Speaker pro tem, Patrick McHenry of North Carolina. Now, his role is mainly just to facilitate the election of a new speaker. But there might be some scenario where he gets empowered to move legislation forward or to just get things moving again policy-wise. That would be a band-aid solution that is not a long-term fix to this problem. Overall, the way out of this is to elect a new speaker, but a stopgap situation might be to temporarily empower McHenry as someone who can get things moving a little bit policy-wise.
Rob, thanks for the call and the question. We'll go next to Sarah in Libertyville, Illinois. Sarah, hi.
Hey, listen, I think I read, but I'm not sure, so I'm asking, that the reason Steve Scalise was not confirmed is because the Freedom Caucus, he wasn't extreme enough for the Freedom Caucus. Is that true? And because that's just really scary. And so what about Jim Jordan? Will they support him?
Gotcha. Sarah, thanks for the question. Anthony, what do we know about where the opposition to Scalise came from?
Well, statistically, based on political scientists' statistical measures of ideology, Scalise is more conservative than most House Republicans, but Jim Jordan is way more conservative than most House Republicans. So the comparison here might be relevant in explaining what happened. Certainly, given the comparison between the two, Jordan is clearly the most conservative option, even though on balance, Scalise is quite a conservative Republican. We have also seen support for Scalise emerge from former President Trump, as well as conservative media personalities. For example, on social media today, Sean Hannity posted his support for Jim Jordan as speaker and urged his followers to call members of Congress to support Jim Jordan. Now, on that note, Dean, I would just mention that according to an analysis done by Media Matters, which is a liberal media watchdog group, they found that over the past roughly 6 years, no other sitting member of Congress has made as many appearances on Fox News as Jim Jordan has. So I expect that there is going to be significant grassroots conservative support for Jim Jordan as speaker. He is such a familiar presence on conservative media like Fox News, and he has gained a national following given his high-profile position on the House Judiciary Committee. I don't know how much that moves the needle for him. He's got a lot of House Republicans he would need to flip in order to become speaker. But Jordan does have that national profile owing to his eagerness to involve himself in political controversies and his very, very frequent presence in conservative media.
We've got time for one more call. Let's go to Charles in Wausau. Hi, Charles.
Hi there. I would love to see a bipartisan effort to elect a new speaker. I live in Representative Tiffany's district, so if he's listening, I would love to see some kind of bipartisan effort happen. But my question is, when Kevin McCarthy was booted out, I was so surprised to see unanimously, all of the Democrats, you know, voted to do the same. That just seems so irresponsible. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think that that was, with all of the things that need to be done in the House, how could they do that?
Charles, thanks for the call. And there is a lot of important stuff on the table. Budget, the conflict in Israel and Palestine. There's a lot going on, Anthony. But it also seems like there would be a lot of deal making that needs to be done to get to that bipartisan place.
I think that's absolutely correct. The Democrats would have had to be offered a very good deal from former Speaker McCarthy and his allies in order to get on board in saving his position. And the reporting indicates that there simply was not an offer made from McCarthy and his allies to House Democrats that could have perhaps saved McCarthy's position. And that's just how D.C. works. There has been talk about how Democrats maybe should have tried to save McCarthy for the good of the institution. But there has to be something more than that. That's just how D.C. works. It's just the realities of D.C. There would have had to have been some serious concessions made to House Democrats for them to get on board with that plan. And so we'll have to see what the future holds for the prospect of a bipartisan speaker. It just seems preposterous given how we have traditionally thought about House leadership positions and the speakership. But hey, I mean, we also thought we wouldn't be in this situation either. So we are truly in a weird and uncertain situation as we continue watching the turmoil in D.C. unfold.
And Anthony, we've just got about 20 seconds left. When could we see a House floor vote on the speakership, do you think?
One thing that Jim Jordan might do is just go to the floor for a vote and force his opponents to go on the record against him. I don't know if that'll happen, but it is certainly available to him as a strategy.
A lot to follow, a lot going on. Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Anthony Chergosky is an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. We talked with him about the current struggle in the House of Representatives to replace Kevin McCarthy as speaker.